Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mailbag Monday with Angel and Joe, where we answer questions you guys have sent in. And there is a boatload of them. So, honey, let's just jump in and see how many we can get done today.
All right, Joe. I've heard you say we should date our spouse, but I'm finding it hard to be creative for date night. Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, sure I do.
I can't wait to hear this.
Listen, I've told couples, listen, they said, well, we can't afford to go out to dinner. We can't afford to do this. We have time. We got all these kids. I said, and you go outside, hold hands, walk around the house about three times, just holding hands. Nobody holds hands anymore. Matter of fact, if you're out in public, you see a couple hold hands, like, your God, they must have just met. What are they doing holding hands? Because couples just don't like to do that anymore. And so when you start having to redate, I had a guy come to one of my marriage seminars one time. He said, you know, I get remarried about six or seven times a year. I said, what? Yeah, my wife, I remarry six or seven times a year. I make sure I start all over again. We go out maybe for some ice cream or a cup of coffee. I go out to a nice dinner. Might just go to a movie, go for a walk, go to the local park. Let's do something, even if it's just for 30 minutes. And so I remember I got convicted about that. And so I remember one time in my first marriage, I told my wife, I said, you know, we need to date more. I said in our seminar, we were going to do a seminar that weekend. We need to encourage couples to date more. She said, well, that'd be good for us. And we date all the time. No, we haven't dated in a long time. Sure, honey. No, just you and I, Joe, not us and the kids, not all our babies. I said, sure, we've dated this year. When? I couldn't remember. She said, it's been 7 years since we've been on a date. And I thought, oh, dear Lord. And so I went and made her she didn't like coffee, and he doesn't like coffee either, but I love coffee. I like my one cup a day, so I made me a cup of coffee, made her a cup of hot tea. We had a big old Cracker Barrel porch on our big old barn house, big tin roof. I said, come on, Sherry, we're going on a date. And I told all my kids, said, don't you come out on this porch unless you're bleeding to death. We're going to be out for 30 minutes. Do not come out here. So we had big rocking chairs on our porch up on the side of the mountain. And we went there. So we went and sat. We rocked, drank my coffee. She drank her tea. We didn't say a word for 30 minutes. And finally, we looked at one another and said, we need to do this again. She said, let's do this again tomorrow. So for the next like 3 or 4 days, we go out on the porch for 30 minutes, just rock our chairs and drink some coffee and drink some hot tea. But it was a start. So we finally, you get out of the habit of dating your spouse. You got to get back in the habit. We're going to do, well, let's make something special. We're going to go down here to, you know, Starbucks and get a cup of coffee or whatever. We're going to go down here and get us a Crystal hamburger or something. Let's just do something out of the ordinary that's not expensive, just to make a new memory, because your memories start fading when you realize that all the good days are 7 years ago. That's not good. You need to make some more memories. So do something unique.
Yeah. I mean, well, I didn't do this with Joe, but I actually did it with my kids because he wasn't here. But we went to a drive-in movie and just bought our lawn chairs and everything and went and saw a Disney movie. And that was so fun and something different. Now, I wouldn't do it certain times of the year here in Florida, but it was a little cooler then. And it was very nice. But you can be very creative. Just walk around the block.
Yes.
Go to her favorite restaurant, or do a theme night where you do.
Ooh.
I heard about somebody that did one that they did a travel night, and they did like when you sat down, you'd get peanuts like on a plane and you'd come around and get stuff. And so, you know, I mean, just do something that's fun and different, creative. And listen, you can Google. There's a lot of stuff on the internet.
Oh, man, tons of stuff. Great creative ideas.
Yeah. So
I know men, we stress on it because we got to make sure we do it perfect. We got to hit a home run every time we swing. Now, listen, guys, you don't have to hit a home run every time. I used to tell our young men, listen, guys, if you bat 333 in professional baseball, if you bat 333, if that's your batting average, you're in the Hall of Fame. How do you make the Hall of Fame? Bat 333 or above. Does that put you in the Hall of Fame? What does that mean? It means you struck out two-thirds of the time. You don't hit a home run every time you go to the plate. You might strike out, but you go back to the plate again. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be perfect every time. Just do something, something out of the ordinary, something to break the mold or whatever. Make a memory, you know, just do something strange and it'll work.
Yeah, one time my daughter and I were, my brother's wife was out of town and he came over and I said, let's make up a game called, his name's Fred. Let's ask Uncle Fred and let's ask him questions that we don't know about him. And it was so funny to hear his answers because It was very unexpected, and we just got to know him a little bit better, and it was just fun. It cost nothing. So, you know,
free's always better.
Yeah. My daughter, one time, she was very creative. I used to tell her, she said she should do this parties on a budget, because she could, you could give that girl $5 and she can make a party happen. But like one time, my son and I were coming home from work, and it was, the Academy Awards was going to be on that night. She had gone in the closet and had found every red shirt, because in their private school, you had to wear red shirts, and laid them out like a red carpet. And when you, and she had a star on the door, she put on the door. And then when you opened the door, she was standing over the camera like she was the paparazzi taking your picture coming in. And she had done so many fun. She made little plates of food. And then we watched the Academy Awards, and it was just a really fun, cute thing. Yeah. And so it just made it doesn't have to be a lot. Just have to be. Yeah. Let me. What is it she likes? She liked to read. Go to a bookstore.
Yeah.
You know, so like Joe said, go get an ice cream. I never get ice cream. That would kind of be fun. Joe, I'm having a problem with my adult son. He says he hates coming to family functions because he feels like he's being pushed with Christianity. He is threatening to not allow my grandson to come over anymore. On one hand, I don't want all of us to have to be on constant guard when they are around. On the other hand, I don't want to lose a relationship with my son and grandson. Please help. This is a very hard one for me because I think it's very wrong and cruel to withhold grandchildren or use that as part of a tactic against a parent. And I see it more and more. And I think it is extremely cruel for the child because the child needs the grandparents in their lives. And I think it's extremely cruel to the parents. And it's a, it can be a manipulative tool. Listen, Christianity is what we are. You can't change that. I mean, that's just who we are. Now, what does he mean by that? He's feeling like you're pushing it. Are you, you know, preaching at him every time he comes into the door?
Or you ask if he's gone to church yet, or you ask if he's read his Bible. Don't ask any questions.
Yeah. Or just, but I wouldn't stop doing what you do and not praying over your meal and stuff like that.
Yeah. Be normal.
But, I mean, that's his own heart condemning him.
Yeah, it is.
But I would be careful not to preach at him.
Yeah.
You know, you want them to see the hope that is in you. And they will ask about it. Joe used to go to his family reunions, and he'd preach to everybody. Tell her that.
Man, it was when we first got in Bible school. Of course, I mean, we'd always been in church, but Mom said, "Man, we got spirit filled. We're going to quit our job, sold our nice house, moved three states away, and went to Bible school." So we came in three Christmases in a row, and we're trying to witness to every dog and cat in the building. And the fourth Christmas, we didn't get invited. So I called home and said, "Hey, y'all having Christmas?" Yeah. When y'all getting together? Somewhere around the holiday. And I realized they didn't want us showing up. And I realized, oh my gosh, my family, they disowned me. It's because I'm preaching to everybody. And so I had a guy that was a good mentor with, he said, "Listen, Joe, when you go in there, don't go preaching, don't go sharing the gospel, don't hand out tracts, don't ask about Jesus. Go in there and serve. Show up early, ask if you can, you know, clean the toilet, mow the grass, dry some towels, you know, sweep the floor, run the vacuum. You go serve. You go early and you leave late. You make sure everything's cleaned up, stacked up before you leave the house. Go serve them. If you serve them, Vince, they're going to ask you about the hope that's in you. Why are you so nice? Because I love you. You're my family." And I've had it took about 3 years of doing that, not preaching, not sharing, just working, doing some dishes, mowing some grass, you know, folding some stuff. And eventually, I had a brother-in-law take me out behind the house. Said, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "What?" And he was asking about Christianity. And I tell people, when they finally start asking you questions, don't unload the gospel on them. Keep it a short, very sweet answer. And he said,
If they're thirsty, don't stick a fire hose in their mouth and crank it on.
Thank you, that's it. And so he said, "You believe you're going to heaven?" I said, "Yeah." "You think I'm going to heaven?" "I don't know." "Well, why don't you know?" "Well, I don't know. You know Jesus." "I go to church." "Well, that doesn't mean you know Jesus. Lots of people go to church." And you keep your answers short. And the more you keep answers short, the more they're going to ask questions. And eventually, man, we would have hour-long conversations. He was so hungry. He wanted to know, but we had just overwhelmed him with preaching at them and sharing in tracts, like, you know, and trying to make sure they don't go to hell. It's like, no, you back off. They'll ask you about the hope that's in, like Angel said. Just give short answers, and they'll ask another question. Give a short answer. They'll, Jesus, you ever notice something, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Jesus always answered a question with a question. And so I remember I learned that process. I had two fire pits in my yard. So my kids were hitting the teen years, and I tell my wife, I'm going to go out and build a fire. And she knew what that meant. So my kids come out on a big old porch and say, what are you doing? Building a fire. You going to cook something? No, I was talking about sitting by the fire. Well, can we bring some marshmallows? Sure, bring them out. And it might just be one kid that would come out, or maybe three would come out. And sometimes they'd all come out. And they'd sit around there and say, what are you doing? I just like to sit around the fire. And the best, they'd ask, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? And I'd always say this. I said, well, honey, what do you think about it? I said, well, I think it's probably done. I said, well, it probably is. And get them to answer their own question. And they will. But if you're always yelling and demanding, people aren't going to talk to you. They're not going to ask you anything. So learn to be patient and be kind. Speak soft, short answer. Soft answer turns away wrath. Keep it short. Keep it soft. Smile a lot. You know, well, that's an interesting question. What do you think?
There is this Southern woman that's a comedian that's hilarious that Joe and I really like. And so she said, we saw her one time. She said that her son was going to have a baby. Him and his wife were going to have their first grandchild. And she said, I was going around saying, we're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby. And she said, and suddenly my son started using words I'd never heard before, like boundaries.
Yeah.
And so you know, and then mom,
gotta get a new dictionary.
Exactly. Mom, this isn't our baby. This is our baby. And so she,
not our baby.
Yeah, exactly. And so anyway, she said, okay. So she said the first 2 weeks she respected those boundaries and she didn't go around. She goes, now today I can see that baby anytime I want. So
they call it be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove.
Exactly. Exactly. But listen, just love on your son. Love is what will bring him around.
It is. And it never fails. The Bible said it never fails. Love never fails.
But you can't compromise and don't be manipulated, because that is unfair to do that. You're going to just probably have to take a stance in that. And if that's what they choose.
Yep.
That's what they choose. They will pay the price for it.
And they'll still respect you even more. I'm not changing for you, son. I love you. I've got the canceled checks to prove, but I'm not changing my life for you. Mm-hmm. I still love God. I'm going to church every time the door is open. I love to read my Bible. I love who I am, what I am, where I'm going. So I'm sorry that offends you, but I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just trying to be me.
One time when my kids were coming out of college and they'd gotten some teaching I wasn't crazy about. Mm-hmm. And, one night we were all at dinner and I think they forgot I was sitting there, and they started talking a little bit freer than, and they said a couple of things, and I said, what did you just say? And they said, you never had any questions about your relationship with God. I go, never once, not one time. No. Yeah. And they said, really? And I said, no. I mean, I've given my life to it. I totally believe in it. 100%. And, So it opened the door for some interesting conversation. Yes. But, you don't have the influence that you had when they were children.
No.
Once they become adults.
It changes.
Yeah. The relationship changes. And it's difficult to accept that now they're more my brother and sister in the Lord.
Yeah, they're not. You're not their mom and daddy anymore. You're your brother and sister in the Lord. And you don't have that same authority. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't tell them what to do. You can't demand things of them. Just love on them.
Yep. And so, and they'll see over time that what you've told them and what you've shown them is the truth.
Yeah. Yes. It's what I live. It's not what I preach. It's what I live.
Especially when they start having children and start seeing how those kids are being affected without the influence of God in their lives.
Yes.
So stay strong and hold on.
Be yourself. Just be yourself.
Don't compromise. Guys, I want to tell you something. We love spending our time with you on Monday, and we couldn't do it without our partners. I want to thank you very much for our partners that make this possible. If you're interested in becoming a partner, somebody said to us not recently, you know, I've listened to you for years and it just never occurred to me to become a partner. Well, you know, we're not a church where people tithe to us every week. This is a faith ministry and
we don't have a fireworks stand. We don't sell Christmas candy.
No. So we are a faith ministry. And so our ministry is supported by people like you. And so we appreciate it and we thank you for it. And if you are interested in becoming a partner, you could write to us at mail@joemcgee.com or there's some partner information on the website.
Very easy.
So please send your questions. And if you'd like more interest in becoming a partner, we'd love to send.
Look, there's people that give $5 a month. There's people that give $100 a month. It all helps out.
It does.
Whatever you do makes a huge difference. That's how we're able to have this equipment where we're speaking on. We got the best stuff. We don't do anything cheap. And so we try to do quality stuff. We work for God. We want to have a quality ministry. And so we think about that all the time.
And honestly, without our partners, I don't know, during the COVID, when we weren't able to travel as much, it was partners that really sustained us.
Yes.
So thank you very much for that.
And we actually expanded during those 3 months. That's when we started the podcast. We did things. I mean, we're good stewards, and that's just a fact. So.
And we love you very much, and we're praying for you. Send your prayer requests, too, so we would love to agree with you. And we'll be praying for these questions and this mother who's being torn between her son and grandson. So thank you so much for your faithfulness. We love you. Have a great week, and drive safely.
God bless, guys.
Bye.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.